Praise the Lord. Won't you give our brothers a hand? Our men's chorus has done a wonder. Come on now. They've done a wonderful job. Amen. And I'm going to ask the deacons who are up here to come and sit where the deacons sit so that the preacher can have more men to look at when he gets up to preach to our deacons. If you'll come and sit in your places. What a blessing it is to share worship today with these brothers. We've got some great brothers here at Ebenezer Third Baptist Church. Amen. And we thank God for their service. We thank God for ministry to the Reverend Dr. Sylvester Delaney Patton III. His family is here today. I want his family to stand. Give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you. I met Dr. Patton on Good Friday. Well, I met him before that, but formally on Good Friday this year. We shared together in Good Friday worship, and I was really blessed with his preaching. And I'm excited that he was able to come and to share the pulpit here today on our annual Men's Day observance. I like his spirit. He's a wonderful brother, a wonderful Christian man, committed to the church, committed to God, committed to his family, and committed to the community. And just a good brother to be around and to converse with and to share with. And you don't often find, let me change that. It's wonderful when you find fellow clergy that you can connect with, that you can share this journey with. And so I'm glad that I found you, Dr. Patton, and God bless you. He is the pastor of the Grant AME Worship Center, located here in Austin, Texas. He is a graduate of the University of Toledo with a BA in management, the University of Phoenix with an MA in organizational management, and a DMIN in transformational preaching. Now, MDiv, from Payne Theological Seminary in Liberation Theology, and a DMIN in transformational preaching. He has been married to Deanna K. Patton for 24 years and has two children, Delaney and Stephen, who are here with him today. And we thank God for bringing Dr. Patton to us with the preached word. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, asks questions about preaching, and he says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." We've got a preacher here today, and God has poured the word into this preacher. Won't you pray for him? Won't you pray with him and receive him now, the Reverend Dr. Sylvester Patton III, as he comes to us with the preached word.
I'm a popular musician. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Put those hands together for the Lord. If he's done one thing for you that you could not do for yourself, give the Lord some praise. It's an honor to be here on this Sunday morning. When Pastor Freeman called and asked me to come, I said, I'll be there. He said, I didn't even tell you the date yet. I said, whatever the date is, I'm coming. Amen. It doesn't matter when the date is. Praise the Lord. And during these times when someone comes and asks you to say a word in their house, it's an honor, and you're going to be there. I love your pastor. I love his spirit. We met at During the Holy Week, on Good Friday this past year, we met prior, like he said, but we were formally introduced in his preaching and his study of his word. It blessed me. We sat right next to each other, traded information, and here I am. I want to say thank you to all the leadership of this great church, to the deacons, to the deaconesses, all those clergy persons, and to the great members of Ebenezer Third Baptist Church. Give yourselves a hand, because this is a great. Not only do I love the spirit of your pastor, I love the spirit of your associate minister. Amen. Reverend West, praise the Lord. Spears. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you're expecting, huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad it's you and not me. Amen. There is a word from the Lord. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 23. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 23. My wife, as already introduced, of 24 years on July 31st is here. Can you celebrate my wife for being married to me? Amen. Because I may have left me, but she stayed with me. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 37, verse 23. Just one word reading from the New Revised Standard Version of God's holy word. And it reads like this. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore. Let us pray. Father, nothing in our hands we bring. Simply to the cross we cling. Lord, hide me behind your cross, under the drippings of your blood. I just want to give you glory. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And the people of God shout, amen. I want to preach from the subject, you still have favor. Can you look at your neighbor like you're angry with them? I'm going to act like I'm at home. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell them you still have favor. Some of you haven't looked at anyone. Find you another neighbor. That neighbor acting real bougie. Amen. And tell that neighbor you still have favor. Now, can you touch yourself like you love yourself and say, I still have favor. Let's put our sermonic text in context. Jacob loved Joseph. He loved him more than any of his other children. Why? Because he was the son of his old age. Joseph was also the favorite because he was the firstborn of his second wife and true love, Rachel. Do I have any Bible readers in the house? Jacob loves his son Joseph so much. He favors him so much that he takes the time to make him a long robe with sleeves. It's a long, colorful robe. It's a robe of many colors. It represents the love and favor that Jacob has for Joseph. This robe is meant to show Joseph, his brothers, his mother and father, the community at large, and the reader of this pericope that Joseph is special, that Joseph is somebody. I imagine when Joseph wakes up in the morning and gets started on his way before he leaves his room, he puts on his coat of many colors. He puts on his favor, and people treat him differently because of what he has on. And because of what he has on, he walks with distinction and charisma. He knows he has favor on his life because of the robe that his father gave him. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved Joseph, Joseph's brothers rather saw that their father loved Joseph more than them, when they saw the coat of many colors that was made for him, they couldn't even speak to him. They could not look at him. The brothers were shepherds. They shepherd cattle. And now that Joseph has a long robe on, he has on long sleeves, he can no longer be a shepherd. He's no longer a help. He's now a manager who tells on his brothers to his father. He doesn't do manual labor anymore. He's just an overseer. Here they are, dirty, and he's walking around with a clean robe of many colors on. Y'all ain't hollering at your boy. Amen. Not only does his father love him more than the others, not only does he have a robe of many colors that identifies his favor, but he's also a dreamer. Are there any dreamers in this church? Has God ever given you a dream? Joseph had a dream that he would one day reign over his brothers. They didn't take too kindly of the dream. The text says because of his dream and because of his words, they hated him all the more. Joseph had another dream, and in this dream, once again, his family would one day come to him and they would have to bow down to him. The brothers as well as his father, they felt some kind of way. They were in their feelings about this second dream. They didn't like it. The text says his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Beloved, God will give you a God-sized dream that will give you a vision for your life. Do I have a witness in the house? What is a God-sized dream, preacher? It's a dream that don't make sense. I know that's bad English, but good gospel. It's a dream that doesn't align with your checkbook. It's a dream that's bigger than your myopic vision. It's a dream that you cannot do by yourself. It's a dream that stretches your faith. It's a dream where you have to pray yourself through. It's a dream wherein the only way it's going to come to fruition is that you're going to have to keep your hand in the hollow of the Lord's hand. If you've ever had a God-sized dream, this gonna mess you up. Y'all gonna shout off of this. You know what I'm trying to tell you is the truth. And if you haven't had a God-sized dream, please know it to be true. And that is, you can't tell everyone about your God-sized dream. Oh my God. Okay. All right. I'm in the right house. You can only tell them to the people who have had a God-sized dream. They may have received a different dream with a different assignment, with a different focus. But when y'all get together talking about the goodness of the Lord and what the Lord is doing in your life, and they get to talking about what the Lord is doing in their life, it's just like you and that person are much like Elizabeth and Mary, will be the only people who understands what you're going through. You know the story. Elizabeth was pregnant with a child in her old age. Mary was pregnant with a child in her young age, and she didn't even know a man. But when they got together, when Mary knocked on the door, Elizabeth's baby started to leap in her belly. They were the only ones who could talk to each other about the God-sized dream, vision, and miracle they were carrying. Don't waste your time talking to people who don't understand a God-sized dream. That's what Joseph did. He spoke too soon about what God gave him in a dream to people who wouldn't understand. Not only do they not understand, but they don't even like Joseph, so they ain't trying to understand. Too many of us are sharing spiritual gems and revelation with people who aren't spiritual, and they don't even like you. They hate Joseph. They hate Joseph because of a dream. Joseph didn't give himself the dream. God gave him the dream. And because of a God-sized dream given by God, they big mad, put a cape on them. They super mad at Joseph. When God gives dreams, when God gives you a vision for your life, get ready for the fight of your life. You didn't ask for the dream God gave you, but you're going to have to fight to keep it alive. I wish I had a witness. You're going to have to fight from losing your mind. You're going to have to fight to keep your integrity. You're going to have to fight to keep from fighting as you follow the dream that God has for your life. Joseph's brothers are mad at Joseph's dreams. Nothing has come to fruition yet. Nothing has happened yet. All he's been doing is talking about his dreams. He's in trouble because of his dreams. Just words so far, no movement, no coming together. of his dream. He doesn't have a plan. He hasn't put pen to parchment. There are some people who are mad at you simply because of what you say about your dreams. You haven't done anything. Nothing has matured as of yet. You wearing the same clothes, living in the same house, driving the same car, working the same job. And because you say that your ladder shall be greater than your past, people hate you and people talk about you and people start rumors about you. But you want to know why they hate you and talk about you? It's because deep down inside of their soul, they know that what you say will come to pass. They believe the dream, the vision that God has given you for your life more than you do. And to prove it, they will try to kill your dreams. Have you ever been next to a dream killer? As soon as you say what God is about to do, their nose goes up in the air and they get real brand new. Y'all ain't hollering at me up in here, Ebenezer. In verse number 18, chapter 37, they see Joseph coming in the distance. How do they know that it's Joseph? They see the coat of many colors. I bet when they saw the coat, they got even more upset. The coat brought them so many emotions. It brought up their father's favor for Joseph over them. It brought up their father's love of Joseph over them. When they saw him coming, they conspired to kill him. They said to each other, here comes the dreamer. I'm in verse number 20 of chapter 37. Let us kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns, and we shall see what becomes of his dreams. I wonder what people are saying about you when they see you coming from a distance. But when Reuben heard what was said, he told them to shed no blood. Let us not take his life, lay no hand on him. Reuben was the oldest. He was the most mature. He wanted to save Joseph so that he could bring him to his father. And that brings us to our sermonic text. Verse number 23 of Genesis chapter 37. Give me 5 minutes and I'm out of your way. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore. Other translations say they tore the robe off of him. Some say they pulled the robe off of him. One says they snatched the robe off of him. When they saw him, I believe they thought to themselves, if we take the coat, if we take the robe, if we take all of that stuff, we take this favor off of his life. After they took the robe off, then they threw the dreamer into a cistern to die in the wilderness. Joseph is alone, depressed, frustrated, and abandoned. And it must have hurt him all the more that it was his brothers who have done this to him. And some of you feel just like Brother Joseph. Someone in here has had their job stripped from them. Your money has been torn from you. Your peace has been ripped from you. Your assets have been taken away. Investments have been snatched from you. Rumors have been spread about you. Lies have been told on you. You've been ambushed, robbed of your robe, stripped of your possessions by your own brothers, by your own sisters, by your own family members, even some church folk then set you up. Those things that you thought discovered you, those things that you thought made a way for you have been taken away from you. But I come to tell you, Ebenezer, men, you still have favor. Look at your neighbor and tell him you still have favor. The robe they stripped from Joseph, it identified his favor, but it was not the source of his favor. The source of his favor was from his father, not his earthly father, but his father who art in heaven. What was stolen from you identified your favor. It was symbolic of your favor, but it was not the source of your favor. The source of your favor, it comes from the Lord who sits high and he looks low. It does not matter what you lost. The Lord will still look out for you. Do I have a witness in the house? Whatever people people do to you, God will still have your back. You're still the head and not the tail. This is your season to do more with less, because you have favor. Can someone say, I have favor? Let me proof text it. You don't believe it. Right after they took the coat, they threw Joseph in a cistern that had no water. Normally cisterns have water in them because they were wells. If the well had water, Joseph would have drowned. But since he had favor on his life, he did not drown. How many of you can say, if you didn't have favor on your life, you would have drowned a long time ago? But the Lord made sure you were safe in an unsafe place. I wish I had an organist right now. They took Joseph's coat off many colors. They left him to die in a dried up cistern. But then came the Midianites, who brought him for 20 pieces of silver. They knew he was too valuable to die in the wilderness. That's called favor. I came to tell you, men of Ebenezer, you're too valuable to die where you are. God is going to send some help. Someone's going to get you out of trouble. They took Joseph's coat of many colors, but when he went to Potiphar's house, he still had favor. He had so much favor that he ran the house. A matter of fact, the favor that was on his life, everything in Potiphar's house prospered. Get ready, men of Ebenezer. Everything connected to you is about to prosper. Your family, your church, your community, your career, your finances, your faith, your help. I'm talking about you, and y'all sitting like the Mac in the back. You better give God some praise of what he's about to do in your life. When Joseph went to prison, he didn't have the coat, but he still had favor. He ran the prison from the inside. He was an inmate who had the keys. Even when the people he helped forgot about him, he still had favor because he had a gift. The dreamer could interpret dreams. His gift made room for him. He went from the pit to the palace, from prisoner to prince. Your gift that the devil can't take is about to make room for you. God's about to enlarge your territory. Who am I preaching to on this Sunday morning? It doesn't matter what you lost. You still have favor because the Lord's hand is on you. I want all the folks who got favor. Can you rest on your feet if you can? If God allowed you to make it in church, can you stand because you got favor? Preacher, how do you know that I have favor? Number one, he woke you up this morning, started you on your way. Number two, he woke you up this morning, started you on your way. Number three, he woke you up this morning, started you on your way, gave you more than a reasonable portion of health and strength. Last night could have been your last night, but God looked past your faults and supplied your needs. Can I testify on this Sunday morning? The Lord walks with me and the Lord talks with me and he tells me I am his own. He told me, Patton, you have favor on your life. And I want to encourage everyone in this church, no matter what has been taken from you, the favor is still on you. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. I'm taking back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today. God's going to give you double for your trouble. you gonna get your stuff back and somebody else's stuff.
Amen. What a powerful word. Will you stand again with me as we extend the invitation to Jesus Christ? This is a powerful message. You still have favor. No matter what happens, God is still with you. We're saying that to those of you who are with us in person and those who are watching virtually. You can receive Jesus Christ by faith and know that you have favor with God. As our ministers, deacons, and greeters come, we extend the invitation to Christ.